Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
This is a Locker Room Production.
Bacon Red Nation, it's Jeremy Brenner here on the mic, and tonight we are recapping Rockets Lakers. It's real late, but it's been a while since I've been able to give a super high energy podcast. It's about 1 a.m. here on the East Coast. The game just went final, but I'm super excited to talk about this game with Mike Brown, my co-pilot. Mike, initial thoughts on this tough loss tonight?
I still hate the Lakers as much as I did last year.
No love lost at all.
Like, honestly, congrats Kyle Kuzma and Wes Matthews. Like, you beat a G League team and it took you all the way down to the wire. I mean, congrats. I mean, whatever. It would have been really nice to force them into the play-in tournament with a win tonight. I'm still proud as hell of these guys. I mean, I thought they played their tails off tonight.
Yeah, you know, I'll say this. The Lakers are probably going into that locker room tonight. They're probably not feeling like they're not cheering up and down. That's for sure. And it looks like Mike kind of got lost in here, but I see people requesting to speak and I will let them up shortly. But yeah, final score. Rockets lose this one 124-122. Some quick tidbits from the box score. For the Lakers, Talen Horton Tucker leads all scorers for the Lakers with 23, and he also adds 10 assists. Andre Drummond also with a 20-10 night. Kyle Kuzma 19-10-7. But for our Houston Rockets, tied for the game high with 24, Kelly Olynyk and Armani Brooks. Really happy with Armani Brooks tonight. That's definitely something we'll dive into later. Kelly Olynyk, also a great night for him, although that final possession, which of course we'll discuss at some point during the show, he did not have a very good final possession, but it doesn't take away from the strong game that he had. 24 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists for the Olynyk Clinic. But I have Yanni, who is requesting to speak. So, Yanni, welcome to the Dream Take. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm well, thanks. And I'm looking at your profile on Locker Room right now. It's a picture of LeBron, so I'm going to take a wild stab at it. Think you're a Lakers guy. So, yeah. From a Lakers perspective, give us how you're feeling after this game.
Well, a big part of me feels good because we won, of course. And we won because two really good clutch players, Kuz and Wesley Matthews, who has been a godsend to us for the past two games, including this game, of course, defensively. But on the other hand, we almost lost to the Rockets, which is not a good thing. And, like, we're not talking about the James Harden Rockets or anything. We're talking about the current Rockets, right? So I feel like the Lakers need to get better at steamrolling past bad teams, because most other teams could do that, you know. And I get we don't have LeBron until later, you know, this week, hopefully, because I was surprised that he wasn't playing tonight, but that's okay. We don't have LeBron. We don't have AD because of the groin, the tightness, or whatever it said on the injury report. I think it was like a thing. I don't know what it was, but we didn't have LeBron or AD. We didn't have Caruso. And we obviously don't have Schroeder until, you know, hopefully this Saturday. But I'm still happy that we won. It's just that I wish we could improve on some things so we can beat teams like this in the future more handily. But I'm glad we won, and I'm glad we did it because of clutch plays from our very important guys on our team. So and that proves that they can step up in the clutch. So, but yeah, and I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched a good portion of it. So yeah, very, very good game from both teams of the offense. Both teams, you know, really playing their heart out on that end. And yeah, but as a Lakers fan, I am happy, but I also see room for improvement. So
yeah, look, if Alex Caruso played, he would have had 16 points or something like that, and the Rockets and the Rockets would have lost by about 18. So 16 plus 2. But no, so Mike got what I was saying, and our loyal listeners will understand as well. But yeah, no, and if LeBron played, probably would have been another 23 or so points, and then you're looking at a huge blowout. But yeah, you know, obviously, it's weird when you're playing this late into the season. I mean, obviously, the Rockets have been playing shorthanded for what feels like the whole season at this point. And the Lakers also have been playing very shorthanded for a while now. And, you know, obviously, I guess from a Rockets perspective, you would have loved to have this win to kind of just, you know, stick it to the Lakers. Because obviously, you know, there's no love lost between Rockets and Lakers fans. But I'll say this. You mentioned Wesley Matthews, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that last possession for the Rockets on offense, Wesley Matthews came up with the biggest play of the game, and he was able to poke the ball out of Kelly Olynyk's hands. Now, the thing with Kelly Olynyk, though, is he's been playing a lot of point guard lately, point mm-hmm. forward or whatever, and he tends to sometimes give up the ball, because he's not the quintessential ball handler. There's certainly better ball handlers in the NBA than Kelly Olynyk, but just because Kevin Porter's been out, he's been getting a lot of time as the primary ball handler, and that's just a result of where the Rockets are at this point. They're kind of filling in the holes and just playing players wherever. And the thing about the Rockets is, and I think a big reason why a lot of these, you know, nobodies are playing well, if you think about it, look at the 8 guys that played tonight, right? You have Jayshon Tate, Armani Brooks, Anthony Lamb, Cam Oliver, and Khyri Thomas. 5 of your 8 guys were free agents at some point this season. I know Jayshon Tate was much earlier in the season, but that's 5 guys they basically got off the street to play in this game. And then you have Augustine and Olynyk, who were in trades, and then KJ, who you drafted. So, like, a bunch of guys the Rockets are playing, and I think the reason why the Rockets have been playing well in a lot of these games is because they have nothing to lose. They have absolutely nothing to lose. They know they're the worst team in the league by record, and they really are just, you know, fighting for their NBA life in a way. And in when you play that kind of style, you tend to not, you know, think so much. Whereas the Lakers, who are playing for, you know, a lot, where, you know, they're playoff, play-in, you know, lives are on the line, So they have a lot to lose, and they're not playing at full strength, and they know that, yet they need to, you know, play their best. And sometimes that mental aspect of the game can get to some players. But that, I think, I think this year especially has shown how important depth is for your team, even for the best teams. If your team needs to have 1 through 17, if you count those two-way spots, 1 through 17 needs to be – any one of those guys needs to be ready to go into a game at any point. And, you know, the Rockets have definitely shown that, and the Lakers have shown that as well. I mean, Wesley Matthews, who was, you know, who knows if he'll play in the postseason at this point. I mean, considering how he's played lately, he's definitely a good defensive stopper. I think we could totally see that come into play, but – look, the guys that played tonight, this is not the playoff rotation for the Lakers. I'd be shocked if it was. But considering the fact that you didn't have Caruso, you didn't have Anthony Davis, you didn't have LeBron, no Schroeder either, you know, this team is going to look very different in the play-in series / playoffs for them. So that, I think, is a big reason why the Lakers kind of played down to their competition in a way tonight. They just simply were playing for a lot more than the Rockets.
Yeah, but I still don't think the Lakers are going to make the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, Yanni, what do you think about the Lakers? I'm going to let some other people go, but before you head out, what is the Lakers' forecast right now? What do you think? Let's assume LeBron is there. Let's assume AD is there. How do you think the Lakers will end up this postseason?
Very good question. I get that question a lot, actually, for different people. But I personally, as a Lakers fan and as a LeBron fan, and I just – you know, my perspective is basically like if we're all healthier or healthy enough to have most of our guys able to play at a high level, I think we can get to the conference finals. And if we get, you know, like superb performances from LeBron, AD, and the rest of our role players play well, which I think they will. They know they have a lot of them have playoff experience. They know what to do in the playoffs. And even if they don't have enough, like have as much as other, you know, like a previous Lakers season when we won a championship. They still have enough experience in big pressurized situations to where they can definitely impact the game, you know, in their own way and you know, help us win. But I think we can make the finals. But the question is if we get there, depending on who we're facing, whether it's the Bucks or the and that's obviously, or the 76ers, depending on who we face, we have to have a different way of looking at things. And, you know, defensively, offensively, how many minutes LeBron and AD have, how many minutes AD plays at the five, all that stuff, right? And who's about power four, maybe Trez or something. But depending on our rotations, depending on what we do in the playoffs against whatever team we're facing, whether it's the Clippers, the Jazz, the Suns, whatever combination there is, whether we're in the play-in or not, I personally think that we can get there. I'm not fully confident that we will get there in, like, dominant fashion, because we do have stiff competition. We do have other teams that are just as good as we are, if not better, in certain aspects. But I do think that when we're all healthy or healthy enough to play at a high level, I think we can beat all these teams and get to the finals at least. I mean, you know, and of course, we get there when we get there, how we can somehow win the championship again, go back to back. But I think that it is a tougher, you know, obviously tougher season this year for us, not just because of the injuries, but because of the competition in the West is even better than last year. But I think we can get there. The question is how we're going to get there, if we're going to be healthy when we get there, of course, and how we're going to, you know, utilize our strengths defensively and on offense besides our stars as well to get to the promised land. So, yeah, that's my perspective on that.
All right, thanks, Yanni. Appreciate it. Oh, sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's perfectly put. I don't know, man. I think at their best, I think the Lakers can win it all. I just don't see it. I don't believe in the role players this year as much as I did last year. Like, if you're counting on Wesley Matthews for legitimate minutes in the playoffs, the Lakers are in trouble.
Well,
that's how I see it.
It depends on the way. The thing is, I actually like Wesley Matthews in like a 10 minutes kind of role where he is defending, you know, a Devin Booker or, you know, a long line, or maybe like a Michael Porter or something like that. But to me, I think what tonight showed is when Andre Drummond is on the floor, they have a difficulty with defending the perimeter. And if another team like Utah or Phoenix, who's likely going to be their first-round matchup, should they stay in that seven spot, both those teams shoot a lot of threes. And If they put five capable three-point shooters on the floor, that's where the Lakers are going to struggle, because Andre Drummond on the perimeter is exactly what teams want. It's why the Rockets were able to make as many threes as they were tonight. So, I mean, the Rockets have obviously had their struggles from three, but 18 for 42 for 40, almost 43%. That's pretty good. So that's really good for the Rockets. It's definitely above average for them. So that is my biggest concern for the Lakers. But
what do you think is in that type of scenario? I mean, what is their quote unquote death lineup? You put what, Anthony Davis at the five? You got LeBron on the floor.
I'm concerned about the Lakers being able to play Drummond is part of their best five. I'm pretty confident that he would be part of their best five. But with that, and if you put Andre Drummond and Anthony Davis on the floor at the same time, I know they haven't played too much together, but if you have both those guys that are like close to the paint, no one's getting in that paint. But the thing is, the teams that they're going to be playing are not going to be driving into the paint as much as they are going to be shooting threes on the perimeter. So
that's a good point.
Well, so to me, I think they're going to run some kind of lineup with like similar to the. I'd assume that Montrezl Harrell may, if you're not playing Drummond, you're probably playing Montrezl Harrell, although he has struggled in the last couple of weeks for them. So I would say it's probably something along the lines of like Caruso, maybe KCP, LeBron, AD, very similar to their finals team, honestly, because that's the team that had the most success.
Right.
Schroeder, Caruso, LeBron, AD, and like either Montrezl Harrell or Kuzma.
I think the one aspect though that you got to look at, it seems that they're going to go up against, you know, Denver's got Jokic and Phoenix has DeAndre.
Jokic AD is something that I would love to see. But...
Oh, right. Yeah. I love that last season too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get away with having Drummond on the floor if you're playing a Phoenix or you're playing Denver or you're playing Utah, because you got Gobert, you got Ayton, and you got Jokic, that you can put Drummond out there. It's when they take those guys off where I think the Lakers will struggle. And I hope the Lakers lose in the first round. I hope they go out of the playoffs as soon as possible. So we can...
Mike is not a Lakers fan.
Look, yeah, I can tell.
Breaking news. But Yanni, I got other people in the queue. So if you have any last words before I send you back to
the Gulag. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for having me, by the way. And last thing is that the main point about like, you know, our, like what's going to be our lineups in the playoffs, like in the clutches, of course, also, I think the beauty is that besides LeBron, AD, and probably like KCP or Caruso or something, I think almost every other Laker is dependent on the matchup, dependent on the game, if they get like some substantial minutes or not. That's the beauty of it. And that's the thing that Vogel's done a great job of last season. He's going to probably do a good job this season of that. I personally think that if they continue to do what they did last season with different personnel, of course, I think they can go far. But that's what I think, and that's what's going to happen. And I appreciate the chance that, you know, I got for being on here. Thank you, Jeremy, for, you know, for bringing me on. And
yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Before Yanni goes down, everyone double tap his profile so you can gem him up. And I'm going to give one going once, going twice, and you're back in the gulag. But we're going to bring up Jay now. If Jay, you still want to come up, I'm going to bring up Jay. Thank you for being patient, Jay. But welcome back to the Dream Take. How are you, my friend?
I'm good tonight. How are you guys doing? How are you doing, Jeremy and Michael?
I'm doing absolutely horrible. I hate it when we lose, man.
Living the dream. Living the dream over here.
Living the dream take. But yeah, what's up?
Listen, man, losses to the Mavericks and the Lakers, for me, they count as five losses. So I totally feel what you're saying on that. But look, really quickly, so I got to say I got a little problem with the last guest you guys had. Yanni. So this is something that's me living out in LA. This is something that's endemic with Laker fans. He felt like the Lakers, in his eyes, his perspective, the Lakers should have won this game by a sizable margin. And here's the problem. He doesn't see that without LeBron, without AD, the Lakers are a marginal team. They're a 41-41 squad in, you know, in a regular extended season, 82-game season. Kyle Kuzma, newsflash, not a star. And that's shown by the numbers he put up tonight against the pedestrian Rockets team, very young, full of mistake makers. He doesn't go off for 30. He doesn't even go off for 25. He contributes, yes, in other ways, but those other ways show that he's just one of the others. So, no, the Lakers shouldn't have won this game by X amount of points. They won by exactly what they should have won by, because you take away their superstars and they're living the life of the Rockets, almost. But the second thing that I wanted to mention was, Michael, you said you hope that the Lakers lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Absolutely.
I will see that first round and I'll raise you. I hope they lose in the second play-in game, because that would be far more embarrassing for LeBron to have come to L.A. for 3 years, get one championship and two no-shows for the playoffs. That's all I got to say.
I appreciate it. I think even if that were to happen, Jeremy, I don't know how you feel, but I think
You woke up and chose violence, man.
Yeah,
like, I think you have to. Like, you just want every bad thing to happen to the Lakers, and I don't think you're alone. You're definitely.
But well, also, I mean, I wake up that way every day. But
yes,
but I mean, I don't think that's possible for the Lakers, especially if LeBron and AD are playing, for them to lose two play-in games, especially considering the fact that you're probably going to get like the Spurs. In game two, or
so here, who else?
Like, it'd be like the Spurs or the.
Here's what I envision.
I don't know who it is.
Steph and crew finds a way to beat them in that first game, and
that wouldn't surprise me, because Steph can do right. Steph and can win a game on his own. But like, I don't think Memphis would get the win. I don't think San Antonio would get the win over the Lakers.
But, Jeremy, think about it. Okay, we're talking about a LeBron and an AD that, quite honestly, this is coming up. We're talking about next week. They don't have the time to get to 100%. And I'm not that sure that this isn't the year that LeBron's body is finally like, hey, dude, I can't do it anymore. Or AD,
That his ankle, like, he's not, like, he doesn't think he's ever going to get back to 100% before that.
Something's going on with the both of them. I promise you, something's going on, and I don't wish for injuries. I want to see everybody healthy. I want to see the best NBA basketball we can see. But what I'm telling you is, if you play the averages, Memphis, they're far removed from the grindhouse. They're not the grit and grind, but they're still a tough, young, physical squad. Ja's going to be out there. Who's the kid? Triple J. They've got some kids that can go get it, and they're very physical. So. All I'm saying
is it's a tall task right. for them to go from grit and grind to the kids to beat the defending champions.
I'm not out of the realm of possibility. And what we would be watching is an NCAA tournament game. And you know how those games can go. So
I'm here for all of it.
I am too.
I'm gonna tell you this. I like LeBron. I've never disliked LeBron more than I do this year. I feel like the guy's more interested in life after basketball than his on-court performance. Like, I think he's over it. I think Jay's right. I think he has a built-in excuse now. Oh, I was banged up all year. It's not fair that the league started so quickly after we had our run to the title. It's not fair. Dude, shut up. Like, you get paid $40 million plus a year to play basketball. Go figure it out. You have more talent on your team than you've ever had. And this is the way you want to act. I hope they lose. And then, you know, ESPN's going to have to find something else to talk about, you know. But I don't know. I still think they've got enough to make it to the second round. I don't think they're making it to the conference finals, though.
Well, the thing about the Lakers is like Yanni said, the one thing that I really connected with him on is the fact that the Lakers are very matchup-based. And who they play is very dependent on the matchup. That's how they were in the playoffs last year, and I'd imagine that's how they are this year. But also, Jay, you bring up the point that they aren't 100%, and they haven't had that time that everyone else has had. But also, if you think about it, very few teams have had, like,
a consistent amount of games to where they're going to play their guys and it's their crew that they're going to run in the playoffs. Like, Utah isn't going to play Donovan Mitchell until, you know, midway through the playoffs. You have the Nets. James Harden just came back tonight. You have the Lakers, another team. But teams like Denver, Phoenix, who has been pretty lucky in terms of the injury bug, that's where I – like, to me, if Phoenix matches up with the Lakers in the first round, that will be the best first-round series we've seen probably since Spurs-Clippers in 2015.
Who would you take in that matchup?
I would take the Suns because I think that that matchup is just really bad for the Lakers. Because, like I mentioned earlier, if you put Drummond on the floor, and Drummond is part of their best lineup, he's like, you have to, like, the Lakers have to play Drummond in order to win a series. He's crucial to their success. And if you play him against the Suns, you're likely leaving some guy open that is really good from three, like Cam Johnson or Dario Saric, or, you know, I could totally see, and then the Suns have a versatile enough of a team to where they can put a group of five guys out there that the Lakers just simply can't match up with. And that is very, very scary.
Unless they play Ayton. I mean, if you put Ayton on the floor,
But the thing is, the Suns can, like, obviously Ayton is a big part of their success, but the Suns can succeed without him.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you. Like, in that matchup, if they put Cam Johnson on the floor, they're going to combat him with probably Morris or Harrell. I think the West is going to be so much fun in the playoffs. I'm probably going to watch more playoff basketball this year than I have in a while just because of the matchups, depending on who it is. But I think this is
– I feel like the Lakers are going to experience a little regret over the players they let go, the Rondos, the Dwight Howards, the JaVale McKees, because those are really key players at certain points in that playoff run. Because, you know, let's not act like they had an easy run last year. There were points where they struggled, and there were points where they really, especially Rondo. Schroeder is no Rondo.
I mean, yeah, but you still got Caruso. You still got the pieces there. I mean, they have a ton of talent.
They're battle-tested, too. That's also something we haven't really talked about.
But like Jeremy said it perfectly. It's all about matchups for the Lakers. I don't think they match up well with Utah, and I don't think they match up well with the Clippers. I don't think they match up well with the Suns. I think the Clippers – I'm taking the Clippers to come out of the West, ultimately.
At this point
– are the best team top to bottom.
At this point, I'm starting to feel like a Lakers podcast. I don't want to, you know, waste too much more breath on them. But I do have a guy in the chat right now. He's talking about Cam Oliver, and we haven't had enough Cam Oliver chat on this show. So, Lachlan, I'm going to bring you up. If you would like to come and speak, he was mentioning in there. But Lachlan, welcome to the show, and how are you doing?
Yeah, all right. What's up?
What's up, Lachlan? Hey, man, I've been a lot better, I can tell you that. But thank you, Jay. I appreciate you coming on. I was going to send you off, but thank you, Jay, and Lachlan, welcome to the show. So I hear you're big Cam Oliver guy.
Mm. Oh, I cover the NBL, so I know love the ins and outs.
We absolutely love that. So, you know, we aren't – I mean, we know Cam Oliver through the two-plus – like, the two-ish games that he's played with the Rockets.
He did the Vipers and shit, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's, you know, been with – he signed on as a rookie in 2017 with the Rockets in Summer League. But you probably have a lot more Cam Oliver knowledge than we do. So I want you to kind of give us your Cam Oliver 101 course in about 60 seconds. So go.
Well, he's a 6'8". Center, small ball center in the NBA, roughly two size NBL center. Key points, very big boy athleticism, can stretch the floor, good rebounder, not a elite rim protector, but does enough to annoy the other team. And then offensively, he's a rim diving machine and wouldn't call him an off-the-dribble threat, but he's not useless as well. And it helps that Scotty Machado's been running pick-and-rolls with him for 2 years.
That's another former Rocket, Scott Machado. But that's a very, very small world. But, I mean, Cam Oliver tonight, pretty efficient. 17 points for him in just 22 minutes, 7 of 10 from the field. I want to say on Monday when he played against Portland, he had 13 points, 6 of 10 from the field. So he likes to take, you know, smart shots, which, you know, the Rockets could definitely use more of. But, you know, it's funny because Cam Oliver comes at a time – they signed him to a 10-day contract, which is actually a contract for the rest of the season because there's less than 10 days in the season from when he signed that contract. So, to me, like, Cam Oliver's playing for a summer league invite at this point. And assuming there is summer league this season, which that's, you know, totally up in the air, I'd assume, though, that considering where we are as a country right now, I would like to think that there would be some kind of summer league, even if it is in, like, a bubble atmosphere. I'd like to hope that there's a summer league this year, and I think that Cam Oliver would make a lot of sense for the Rockets in the summer league. You know, exactly what you said, you know, 6'8", small ball center. He fits exactly what the kind of guy the Rockets needed. You know, there's been several kind of guys that have that same archetype that Cam Oliver has, and whether or not he'll be that guy, it's probably not likely, but, you know, having him these past two games has definitely been a help, that's for sure.
I like
him. Well, there's a little thing where, well, who's your assistant coach who played in the NBL?
Will Weaver.
Mm-hmm. And then who's the guy he brought over who was on his championship losing team? Jayshon Tate. So that's what we saw with the Pelicans, that they have Didi Luzada just brought up after being a draft and stash in the NBL, but they also brought over Will Magne because they've been watching the league. And the Rockets could slowly keep picking away at NBL rosters and make a little team. But the thing, Oliver shouldn't be in America right now. The NBL's still going on. He should be with the Taipans. His mother has had medical issues, so he's taken the rest of the season off to go stay with her and look after her. But then, because he's there, he's just doing a 10-day contract. So typically, this wouldn't be happening right now, but he's just over there and he's balling. So we might, like, the NBL might lose him. They've got the buyout in his claws, so we'll see what happens. But from what the experience is, it might look like the Taipans might not have Cameron Oliver next season.
So I'm glad that you brought up Jayshon Tate and Will Weaver, too, because I want to know, how do Aussies feel about Jayshon Tate right now? And I guess those that follow the NBA, how do, like, they see what Jayshon Tate is up to? How do they feel about that?
Give me a second. Well, the NBL is a pretty niche, like, it's probably one of, like, the fourth or fifth more important sport in Australia. There's a lot of other ones that people care about, so it's more of a tight-knit community, but they enjoy seeing Will Weaver over there because we all knew he was a very good coach, and then we like seeing how he's bringing over his players, and that sort of builds the connection between the two leagues, and that helps possibly Aussies getting over there more. Like, Will Magne was only brought over because they watched the league a lot because they had Didi down there. So we might see other guys get called up for Aussies. We sort of claim the Torrey Craigs and the Jayshon Tates and all the rest, but we'd be more excited about Aussies getting those opportunities. But obviously the imports are pseudo-Australians because they play here.
Can I just say that I love Australian culture. Not basketball related, but I want to go to Australia so bad. Like, I really love the culture down there where, like, there's very, like, much of a tropical vibe, but also there's, like,
that, in one state.
yeah. And then, but, like, it's more than that. Like, you can go to, like, the coast and, you know, have, like, the Gold Coast kind of vibe, but then you can kind of go closer inland and they have, like, you know, basically like the middle of Texas, kind of, where it's just kind of like, you know, desert, but it's really pretty. Like, Mike, if you like go in the middle, like, you know, back me up here.
Like, yeah, I've been. I love it.
You've been to Australia?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Bro, you didn't take me with you.
Well, you know, it was before I knew you.
That doesn't excuse you from doing that.
Well, my sincerest of apologies.
That's kind of rude, but anyway, I really want to go to Australia really badly, especially considering the fact that they are so, you know, especially when they treated COVID as well as they did. Like, I was just, like, made me. Well, I'll say this. as an American and the way Americans look at views, at least from my point of view, I don't want to speak for all Americans, but I look at Australia as one of the places that COVID was, you know, treated very well. So
in hindsight, there could have been a lot of things that done better, but overall, I imagine it was pretty good. But the gold standard's probably New Zealand.
Yeah. New Zealand is great, too. I love New Zealand. But we could totally do, like, some kind of... You know what we should do, Mike? We should just go... We should just... one for one podcast next season, we should just go down under and just record a podcast and come right back.
Do you know how far that is? Like, it's 17 and a half hours. I think I flew into Brisbane from Dallas. It's a 17 and a half hour flight.
So, not to mention the fucking grain ticket.
Yeah, there's also the fact that there's 46 animals there that can kill us upon seeing us. Okay.
I'm good. Lachlan, what is your favorite Australian animal?
My dog.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that. No, but my favorite animal, like, of all time is a kangaroo. So, like, that's definitely, like...
You're not missing much. They're just big bastards with feet.
They actually taste pretty good, too.
Yeah, Mike, kangaroo meat is pretty good.
Rude!
I'm just saying, I've ate kangaroo before.
Okay, but I'll say this. Like, I don't know. I empathize with the kangaroo a lot because, you know, they kind of jump. They're very free. You know, they're
Are you as fit as a kangaroo? Look up buff kangaroos.
I am a buff king. Okay. I've been working at the gym, but also, like, they're very caring, and I really empathize with the kangaroo. But yeah. Anyway, we're kind of going very off subject, but yeah. So Lachlan, I'll ask you one last question before I send you off. But Cam Oliver, do you think that his future is in the NBA? And name someone in the NBL right now that, you know, could come to the NBA. Who's the next Cam Oliver? Who's the next Torrey Craig, Jayshon Tate that you know, Rockets fans or NBA fans don't know about? And maybe we could have a redux of what Jayshon Tate was for us this season.
What was the first one? his future?
Like Cam Oliver, do you think his future is beyond where he's at right now? And then the other who one, could be the next NBL product to make their jump to the NBA?
Well, it depends more on the team itself. Like, I can see Cameron Oliver being a third string center who averages like 15 minutes a game as like that small ball matchup dependent center, but you'd still want your like Hartenstein or something to be your real backup center to post up people properly and like, you know, defend the ring and post. But I would like to see him because he's like an athletic Daniel Tice who's not as good as a like nail defender. Like, there's a place for him.
Yeah, and who from the NBL could you see make the jump into the NBA next season?
Well, there's two kinds. There's the import, which are non-Australians and non-Asian, you know, Japan and all those guys. They get special exemptions. And then there's the Aussies. And I'll give you, like, two from each. I'd say one guy was already there for a couple, like, a game or two just on the bench. Will Magne is, like, a 6 foot. 10 three-point shooting, right? Yeah, three-point shooting, shot blocking center who got waived in the season, but he played with the Erie Bay Hawks, and he's going to play with the Perth Wildcats for the NBL Finals. So that will be on Twitch, and that you can watch him if you want to give him a watch. He's young too, so he'll have a path. Two other Aussies that come to mind is Isaac Humphries, who you'll remember with the Hawks. He's been an elite shot blocking center and just does all the right things, so he might have a chance. The other guy is Jock Landell. He's just an all-star role player, and I think he might have a shot. There's a couple other guys, like Jack White, maybe one day, played with Duke. Justinian Jessup is a next star, which was like the LaMelo program. He might come over with the Warriors next season.
He was drafted by the Warriors, I believe, in this
54th overall. Yeah, so they might call him up like next season. Year. There's obviously Josh Giddey in the draft. He's playing with the 36ers. He's going to get drafted, so that doesn't count. But
I would really like him for the Rockets. I've watched a little bit of his tape. He looks pretty good. He would be someone the Rockets could really use. But, yeah, Lachlan, thank you so much for being a great sport. And I know I kind of took the piss out of you for a little bit, but thank you for your knowledge as well. Definitely something we appreciate on here. But before I send you off, Aussie.
Oi.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I had to do that. But thank you, Lachlan, for being a great sport. But we're going to go from Australia to the UK right now with Jake. I'm also going to add our third piece to our team here, Ray Lucas. Ray is coming at us from the West Coast. So, Ray, welcome back to the show, as always. And we're also going to bring in Jake Mountford from the United Kingdom. We're the Harlem Globetrotters today. We really are.
Oh, you also don't have any animals that will kill you, so.
Hey, you never know.
Well, I mean, you'd be very unlucky, but I'd be surprised.
But Jake, I know it's probably like, you know, morning now where you are. The sun's probably up.
Yes.
You're probably already getting your brekkie and all that. So welcome back to the show. Did you get any sleep last night or really stay up to watch the Rockets?
So today was my first day back at work. I'm actually there now.
Welcome back to work.
Yeah, thank you. So, but I was like, I got into work and I was like, you're a bit early so you can chill. And I was like, oh, I'll jump into the locker room. Why not? So I was like, yeah, so I'm here before that. But yeah, I didn't sleep because I wanted to watch the Lakers game. You know, in hindsight, it probably was a mistake because we lost. But yeah, it is what it is. The season's almost over, so not
sleep is for the week.
Exactly, yeah. Facts. That's what I've been saying all season.
But anything to add from tonight's game?
I was actually going to have a question for you guys. Yeah. So yes. I've been watching, obviously, Michael has been very high on Armani Brooks when we first got him. And I was the same, you know, at the start, the honeymoon period, where he was like really shooting well. And then he dipped a little bit when he lost a lot of minutes, and then he's come back, and I think he's been brilliant for the Rockets in this time when we've needed him. And I was just wondering if does he warrant a contract next year for the Rockets? Do you see him in this team next year?
That's a great question. First of all, he went to the University of Houston, Final Four participant this past season. Just wanted to throw that out there. Also the American Athletic Conference champion, University of Houston Cougars.
Nobody says that, but yes.
Okay, so I'll be honest. I think he does. I'm not sold on him on the defensive end of the floor just yet. I think at worst, he's an upgrade over Ben McLemore. And he's cheaper and he's younger. So if Ben McLemore made the team this year, which he did, there's no reason Armani Brooks couldn't make the team next year in that role. And I think you could do a lot worse than Armani Brooks as an end-of-the-bench type guy. I don't think he's a starter by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he's the perfect type of guy to have on this team who's cheap, young, can still develop. I think he needs to come into his body frame a little bit more too. I think in real significant minutes, if this team is playing at a high level, he would get eaten alive on the defensive end by a majority of guards in this league. But if he's in a limited role on a good team, which I think this Rockets team is going to contend for the playoffs next year, I think he definitely has a spot as an end-of-the-bench type guy.
Ray, do you have anything to add about Armani Brooks and his prospects of being on the team next year?
Mine isn't necessarily about Armani Brooks, but it's about more so of the young players in Houston. I'd be hesitant to get attached to a lot of those guys. Obviously, that doesn't include Jayshon Tate and KJ Martin and like the guys who play a lot of minutes. But I feel like there's going to be a lot of teams that are above Houston and that are looking to add pieces that are going to be really intriguing for guys like Armani Brooks. Like, I think there'll be teams that come around and kind of prod at the role players of Houston throughout these next, hopefully not too long. Hopefully they become a regular playoff team sooner than later. But I think it's just like kind of like how the Lakers took KCP away from Detroit. Houston, when they had James Harden, took Christian Wood away from Detroit as well. I feel like I can see that happening with a lot of these guys who are showing that they can play. And that was kind of off subject, but That's what I got.
Yeah, you know, Ray brings up a good point is, you know, I think a lot of us forget that guys like David Nwaba played for this team last year, although he is a free agent, but also, like, Eric Gordon was on this team. Sterling Brown was on this team. And if you ask me, like, you know, would you rather have Armani Brooks or David Nwaba? I'd rather have David Nwaba. And that's nothing against Armani Brooks, but David Nwaba is just a more complete player. And the reason why the Rockets have had, I think, what, like 29, 30 NBA players this season on their roster, it's because they've been so injured. And in reality, the reason why the Rockets are as bad as they are record-wise is because they're not good to begin with, but also they're playing their BC team at this point. Like, they're playing the JV backups. And that's the thing is, you know, most of these guys were playing in the G League. Anthony Lamb, Cam Oliver, who was, you know, didn't, you know, play anywhere near the NBA this season before he came to the Rockets. You know, same with Armani Brooks. Although, when you say Armani Brooks, that's probably the one guy out of all of these, you know, like the Daquan Jeffries, the Anthony Lambs, all of those guys. Armani Brooks, in my opinion, is the one guy out of that whole group that could stick, because he is exactly what the Rockets were missing at the beginning of the season, which is a 3-point, you know, lights out guy. And it's not that he's the best 3-point shooter in the world, but, you know, the Rockets needed a lot of that. Remember when the Rockets couldn't make a single three, like in the middle part of the season during the losing streak and all of that? Like, when Armani Brooks came to Houston, like, that changed and it opened up the whole offense. And, you know, having a guy like him is going to be super crucial moving forward. And I do like Mike's comparison of a Ben McLemore type. Like, I could see him on this team next year as like a 10th or 11th guy, doesn't necessarily play every game. But I think Armani Brooks, like in nights like tonight, proved why he has a little bit longer of a life in the NBA than an Anthony Lamb or a Daquan Jeffries or any of those type of guys.
Well, he's a knockdown 3-point shooter.
Exactly, which is exactly what the Rockets need right now.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, I think in an offseason where he – a big key for these guys is, you know, is the weight room. I mean, Christian Wood needs to hit the weight room every single day and put
I'm going to get, like, Christian Wood, like, a bed. I think we should all donate Christian Wood a bed and put it in the weight room so that he doesn't have to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has the personal chef from the Rockets, probably, and he has the nutritionist and all that. Just needs a bed.
Do you think that he can live in there? I think Cameron Oliver's got a chance to stick, too. I think him and Armani Brooks are the two guys.
A little too late, in my opinion. But I will say this. The fact that the Rockets have a lot of these young guys is going to make training camp extremely competitive. And we also think about the fact that, you know, there's a chance the Rockets have 3 first-round picks. That's 3 more guys you're adding into this equation next year of guys that could get minutes. You also add Eric Gordon. You add, like, DJ Augustine. You add a bunch of guys that are already on contract. Then you add the free agents that the Rockets are inevitably going to add. This is going to be a really competitive training camp where it's not just going to be about, like, the last, you know, last 2 spots like it usually is for Rockets camp. It, like, the last, like guys will be fighting between the end of the rotation and not making the team. Like, there's going to be a lot of guys in there that are unproven, that are looking to prove something. And it's going to make for a better Rockets training camp, and it's going to make for a better start to the season because you have guys that are competing for legitimate playing time and legitimate roster spots right away from the jump. And I think that, you know, at this point, the Rockets just need to bring in as much talent as they possibly can. And as long as they do that, the cream will rise to the top, and the Rockets will have as much as they can. But in terms of the talent they've added during the middle of the season, in my opinion, Armani Brooks is a decent margin ahead of the rest of the pack.
Wait, yeah. So I have a question. I have 2 questions.
Yeah, oh, right. What's up?
For one, do you guys think that Kevin Porter Jr. plays any summer league at all? And 2, are we celebrating if the Rockets win summer league?
We will celebrate anytime the Rockets win. At this point, we haven't had enough Rockets wins. I will throw a parade if the Rockets win one singular Summer League game. So if they win the whole thing, we're shutting down the city of Houston. We're going down Kirby. We're making the parade. A championship is a championship at this point. But all kidding
aside, you're gonna be by yourself on that one.
Hey man, a parade's only one person. That's all you need. And to be honest, I have enough energy to where I could bring in other people. Like people will just follow me because I'm there. So, but also to add to your second question, no, I don't think Kevin Porter plays Summer League. I think he played Summer League in the bubble. Like he doesn't need it, in my opinion. Like if Christian Wood were playing Summer League, which is obviously not going to happen, then I could see maybe why Kevin Porter would. But at this point, the Summer League guys are going to be like Anthony Lamb, Armani Brooks will play Summer League, Cam Oliver.
I wouldn't be too surprised if they had those guys. I wouldn't be too surprised if they had Jayshon Tate play Summer League just to help.
I don't
think
Jayshon Tate's playing Summer League. He's the third best rookie in the league. Like he's not. I don't think he will.
I don't think he will. I like the question about Kevin Porter Jr., but I think he's way too important to next year's team to have on the court. More, I would be intrigued if we get the number one pick. I think Cade Cunningham will play in the Summer League, which I will be equally excited to watch.
No, yeah, the Rockets, like, all three rookies, or however many rookies the Rockets have, will all three Rockets draft picks, assuming they do have three, will play Summer League. If there is Summer League, and we're assuming Summer League is going to happen, but it's not confirmed yet or anything like that, or at least I haven't seen it confirmed or anything. But at this point, like, does Kevin Porter, does Jayshon Tate, do they have anything to prove in playing Summer League? No. Summer League is a proving ground for guys. And I don't think that you're going to get anything new or you're going to get anything improved out of those guys if they play Summer League. They've already played against, you know, like Kevin Porter dropped 50 on and had Drew Holiday guarding him for most of the game. Like, what's he going to do when, you know, Joe Schmo for the random team that they're playing that night, like he's going to drop like 100 and like that's not worth it because Summer League is just like Kevin Porter can find other ways to develop himself without playing Summer League and give some other guys a chance, in my opinion.
Yep. I agree.
But yeah, Jake, any last words before we sign off?
Not much. Just wish me luck in my work day.
hey, wish you luck and some sleep, hopefully, at the end of the work day. The Rockets are off tomorrow. So you should be safe for that.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jake. Feel free to double tap him on his way back to the gulag. Sending gulag in 3, 2, 1, and you're gone. But now it's just family. It's just me, Mike, and Ray as we sign off on this episode of The Dream Take. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us through this hellhole of a season, but we wouldn't want to go through hell with anybody else than you guys, our loyal listeners. Thank you to everyone who listened to us live in Locker Room. Extra stars for you. Thank you to our guests today. We had Jay. We had Yanni, our Lakers correspondent. We had Lachlan, our Aussie correspondent. And, of course, number one Dream Take fan, Jake Mountford from the UK. Ray and Mike, thank you guys so much for coming on with me today. Feel free to drop your Twitters now or forever hold your peace.
BSW_MB.
At Raymond Lucas Jr.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. You can also follow the Dream Shake on Twitter at DreamShakeSBN. You can also follow the Dream Take on Twitter at The Dream Take. We're live on Facebook for Friday's show. Michael Brown will be fronting that. And then on Sunday, the season finale of The Dream Take, where we put this season to bed. We're going to do so in style, hopefully celebrating a win over the Hawks, who just clinched their first playoff ticket in 5 years today, I believe. So congrats to them. But we'll see them on Sunday, and we'll send off the Rockets and this hellish season. We'll put it to bed, you know, and Jake will have a little extra sleep because that will probably be an afternoon start. So, yeah, thank you to everyone who listened to this episode.
be sure to head to thedreamshake.com for all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. Again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. And until next time, go Rockets!
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Hello, I'm Neelai Patel, the editor-in-chief of The Verge and host of Decoder, a business podcast where I interview CEOs about big ideas, the problems that come from those ideas, and how they make decisions. It is also surprisingly about org charts. It comes up a lot. We're launching a new limited series that we're calling the Centennial Series, where I talk to CEOs of companies that are over 100 years old, like Xerox, Barnes & Noble, and more. There's no 100-year-old company that's without its struggles, and it's been fascinating to talk to these CEOs about which parts of these companies' history are important and which parts they can let go. A little spoiler for you, if a company is over 100 years old, there's a lot of drama to talk about. It's been a good time. You can listen to the Centennial Series right in the Decoder feed. New episodes of Decoder are out on Tuesday, and the Centennial Series is out on Thursdays. Check it out. We think you're really going to like it. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.